All right, so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. Thank you all to all the listeners for being here. This is the Wednesday call, as we call it. This is a simulcast, as usual, with a conference call. Thank you all for being here. We have a bunch of people on the phone line, and I know that Wynn is here, and I believe Terry Brown also be present. Hello, Terry, are you?
Hi there, yes.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, good, thanks.
All right, thank you so much for being here again. And Wynn, we do have at least two new people on the call tonight.
Okay. Thank you. I think we're not ready, so we can start. Okay.
I will do this. All right.
Here we go. Here we go. We're going to record.
This conference is being recorded.
This is December 16th. Wait a second.
All callers are muted.
Say it again, Wynn, because you couldn't hear you.
Okay, this is December 10th, 2014, and this is one of our three weekly conference calls, and all the calls are different, and our Monday call is kind of like I make up a topic, and there's very, very interesting things we talk about, and often or sometimes we do a channeling session on a particular topic with a voice, an intelligence that identifies itself as the Elohim. And the Elohim supposedly created the universe. Now, I always tell people, don't believe any of it. You know, there's a tendency for humans to give up their power based on, how can I say it, the whether it's to God, to Jesus, to our boss, to our wife, to whatever, looking for answers outside of yourself. And ultimately, it's got to come from inside you. But things outside you can help wake up things inside you. In fact, in general, usually that's the way it works. So on these calls, regardless of who they say they are, I always say, determine whether it's true or not based on all the anecdotal evidence, the little miracles that happen for people, and what happens inside of you. And I kind of urge you, if you're new, to check in on our calls regularly for a couple of months and or go to our archive site where we have over 1,000 calls. And the unusual thing about our calls is that many people experience an energy on the call. They tune into an energy that is uplifting, that is peaceful, that is joyous. And when we asked about this, our sources that spoke to us say they have the ability to project energy into this realm when people ask. They don't violate free will. And so they say that energy that's on the call, particularly our Sunday calls, is quite extraordinary. And, you know, people that start experiencing that energy have everything from depressions going away, relationships changing, and even little miracles of healing. Now, they don't work for you. And so you have to check it out and be as scrutinizing as you want. But at the same time, you're scrutinizing, be neutral. And the chances are you're not going to feel the energy if you don't open up to some level of trust, because there's an automatic resistance that we all have and that we should have about opening up to something before we trust it. because oftentimes we're duped, cheated, misused, abandoned by things that don't look like they're going to do that. Well, we've been doing these calls for quite a few years now, and we're still doing them. And, you know, the people that keep coming start to feel a sense of family and connection. And so oftentimes, particularly in the world today, it's particularly if you happen to have some sense, spiritual orientation, looking for answers beyond the world. These calls for many people feel that seeking. And, you know, we don't charge for them. They're free. And you can use them as much as you need to. Our archive site probably has almost 100,000 hits. And people, that's the one with all the calls on it. And some people just, when you realize what's there, they go ape on it because it's so amazing. And yes, this is a very difficult time for many people. And if it is for you, we really send you our love and our blessings. And one of the cool things that people discover on these calls is that there's the ability from the higher sources. When I say send energy, it's very loving energy, and it can make you have an experience of feeling loved, even if you don't have that experience in your life at this moment, which many people don't. And so that is a great experience to have, and you won't be abandoned, okay? And so that's just an introduction to the call. And on our Wednesday call, each call is unique. Our Wednesday call, people submit questions of all different sorts. And I pick what I think are the best questions, and we ask them live on the call. And Terry Brown, who is the channel for these sources, answers them, or they answer through her. So I thank you all for being here, and it's like we're not ready, we're never ready, and let's see, we have Marilyn on the line, two Marilyns, and Dave in Atlantic City, and who else? Eric in Santa Fe, and I might even have three Marilyns. And, you know, one thing I just want to say, this is a good time to store some food and water. And you may not need it, but there's loads of precarious things going on in the world. And if something breaks down, it's good security to know you have a couple of months of food and water in your garage or somewhere. And go to a 99-cent store and get bunches of cans of food. Unfortunately, it's probably not going to be non-GMO. But if you can afford it, go to the health food store and get non-GMO food. But in an emergency, it's good to study the GMO thing and which foods have the most predisposition to be GMOs. So if you buy cheap cans of food, that you pick the kinds of things that may not be GMO. And again, this is not to create fear. Our sources didn't tell us that. We don't need Channel 4 sources to know that the world is precarious right now. And there's so many things happening, from potential natural disasters to wars to manipulations of the weather, etc., 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 that it's just good to be prepared. If you have enough money to get some silver or gold and put it away. But mostly food. Food will be as negotiable as precious metals if there's a breakdown of sorts. And many people in particular are predicting the potential for a financial breakdown. And mostly because our dollar, which used to be backed by gold, is no longer backed by anything. And other countries have already started not accepting the dollar in the way they used to, the value of it, particularly Russia, but other countries. So once the dollar loses its value in the world market, which it's already doing, it's going to impact us. And who knows how that impact is going to work. So it may not happen next month. It may not happen next year. It may not happen in 2 years. But sooner or later, it's going to happen. And may as well be prepared so you don't freak out, okay? And let's see. Let's see if we have any last-minute questions that came in. Okay. Luzia, we got your question, okay? So one of the things that happened on this call is that we create a group energy. We, meaning me, Terry, you. And even though you're not physically present, your energy field is present in the higher realms. And, of course, it's a free will association. So you may not choose, especially if you're new, you may say, let me just check out what this is. But this group energy thing kind of happens spontaneously. It doesn't happen because you say, I want a group energy. It's kind of like love. Can you say, I want to love this person? You can try it. But the highest aspect of love is a spontaneous surrender of your heart. And when it's right, you can't help it. In any case, the group energy is similar. It's a spontaneous surrendering of your heart. And you don't have to try. And in fact, I'm not sure you can succeed if you try. But you'll notice during the course of the call, many people have that experience. And they open up their hearts, and that leads to a lot of positive shifts in your life, because the open heart, as you get used to having it, extends out to the rest of your life. And I'd like to introduce Terry Brown. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
And she's not muted. This is
right.
Terry Brown's conscious self. And
yes.
You know, one of the reasons we can do this on these calls is because Terry has such a high intention. Channeling is a very tricky thing, and it's because it's like you have a voice speaking through you, and you don't know who they are. And
but you get to recognize their soul signature, and you're able to tune to them, and you know that you're talking to someone the same as if you're talking to a person.
Right. And Terry, I believe, can do that. And channeling in general is sometimes tricky because oftentimes there's sources that speak through someone and they can look positive and say the right things, but there's an agenda. And it's hard to, you know, until you have a little experience. It's sometimes, if you're listening just to the words, it sounds like the right stuff, and you miss the fact that this group energy is not present, and something is speaking to you as opposed to being with you, and that the underlying premise, the underlying, they call it a law, we can call it a law, the underlying rule or the underlying premise of this work is something which our sources call the law of one. And the law of one is that we are all part of the same energy. We are all part of each other. There's only one energy in the universe that's subdivided a trillion times. And in the physical realm, most people have lost their connection to this. And they're busy, you know, feeling separated, trying to make a living, doing, you know, working out your personal life. And that is important. You don't, you're not supposed to deny that you have a life here, because you do. You have a body. It needs things. It needs affection. It needs food. But simultaneously, there's part of you that exists in the spirit world, which you could call your soul, and that you can have the potential ability to connect with your soul, to feel how it works. And that's one of the things that I think happens for people that are paying attention to our work. So we're going to start. The first thing I'm going to do is we have a little invocation that helps bring in group energy and helps bring in protected energy for this call. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Fra. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to meet with you tonight, and to touch and sense and be with those that wish to have connection made to them. We are here to assist where we can. If you ask questions that you would like answered, or you have requests for healing, or you have requests for connection, communicate, and we hear your communications. Do you have a question?
Yeah. The first question is from Rich Buckley. And Rich, if you don't mind, I'm going to rephrase your question. It's not a personal question. I'm going to rephrase it so it's more general, okay? And the question, as I'm rephrasing it, is there are certain symbols in that are used that are used by what we call the negative, that show up in sneaky places, in television commercials, whatever. And those of you, many of you probably know what they are. And the question that Rich asks, is it wise to pray and meditate and try to break up the energy of the connection that these symbols have on the collective, okay? Is that a good use of prayer energy, or is there a better use? I'm saying my question is that the best use of prayer energy to work on those symbols? And maybe perhaps for certain people, they've had connections with those symbols in the past, so that may be an important process for them to release themselves from their own prior connections. Thank you.
Thank you. We see that many of those symbols were stolen from earlier practices. There are some symbols which represented wisdom. There are some symbols that represent the devil. And for one to pay a lot of attention to it, it is better to not pay a lot of attention, but go straight for what it is that you wish and use your prayer in the means to go straight for what you wish to happen, assuming it is for the highest good. The all-seeing eye was stolen from earlier great wisdom, and it is used by these sources to hijack energy into their camp. The all-seeing eye, previous to being hijacked, was a means of connecting with the all-seeing. And the fingers in the shape of horns was stolen from Druid times and modified to give negative energy to things. So each symbol came from somewhere and was stolen and is used as a means of corralling energy. When you pray, it is better to simply go for the prayer and not to break up the negative symbols that someone is using.
Thank you. Question from David Ferringer in Grove City, Pennsylvania. And, you know, for a long time we never did this. And we started doing it, now more people are asking, because it seems as if when people cross over, that our sources can tune into them. And there's been a couple of times when they've given a message to their loved ones on this line. And sometimes that's not appropriate because they're in the middle of some kind of process and they're not available. So we have a couple of people that have asked questions about crossed over people. And Dave's question is, my dad, Joe Ferringer, passed away December 13th, 2012. We all miss him very much, as well as his great sense of humor. Recently, we found a poem on the back of his old paintings. We would love to know if he actually wrote it. Also, does he have any classic smartest comments to share with the family? Thank you, guys. And the poem here that Dave found When the sunset years have crept within the framework of the soul, serenity and gentleness possesses the structure old. Thank you.
Thank you. Your father was very taken by that poem. It meant a lot to him. We are seeking to connect, and we do not wish to pull him off of his path. He is he does have a good sense of humor. We do not wish to refocus him, however, at this time. He is seeking stabilization at this time, and we can pick up his energy. He loved to be funny.
Thank you. Is that all? Go ahead.
Yes, we do not wish to refocus him at this time, although we have partially done so.
Well, let's all just send love to him for wherever he is, okay? And Meryl Witter, that's very simple.
In between. Thank you.
Okay. Meryl Woodard has a very similar question. My dear friend Sonia just died mercifully in her sleep in Seattle with a heart attack. How is she doing now? And does she have any message for me or her children, Brian and Courtney? Brian is rising to the occasion and trying to take care of affairs. Courtney is feeling in broken pieces. We are all stunned and wrapped in loss.
Thank you. She is feeling that loss that you are feeling. It is coming from you. And she is broken up herself and is feeling your loss. And it is also her loss. It would be good to send her a few kind words each day of love and to think of her rather than thinking of the loss that both she and you have and the children have. It will help her so much, as she wishes to not have created this loss.
Thank you. Dave Ferringer said that just correcting on his dad that he died on December 13th, 2012. And I think I said he just died. But
no, you said he died on in 2012.
Right. Okay. You know, many people are concerned about the precarious condition of the world. I'm just going to ask this question. And the question is, let's see, Marilyn asked the question. I'll read Marilyn's question and then I'll add my question to it, okay? And Marilyn Kowalski's question is, are we going to cross timelines in March of 2015, or has the crossing begun already, and are we all going at one time? Now, we have never gotten the idea that we're all going at one time through our questions, and that it seems like the idea of just disappearing from this realm, which is something that was spoken of at the beginning of this work, it doesn't seem to be the prime idea anymore. The idea seems to be getting our energy above the physical realm so that if and when we die, our energy will be projected into a higher realm, and that we can move to that realm and have more choices. And other people are saying we're crossing timelines. There's going to be a big immediate shift at one point. Has the crossing already begun? Are we all going at one time? So could you comment on this, please? Thank you.
Thank you. We take a look at this month of March 2015. We do not see a big crossing over of timelines. There are potentials, possibilities. However, they can be kept positive if enough people are working toward the positive. But we do not see a big crossing over of timelines in March, although there are potentials for some crossing over of either natural or earth changes. We do not see them for then, however. There are some wild cards concerning politics. However, this has not been decided.
If there was a crossing of timelines, how would someone experience that?
We can see different manners. One would be of the death and transitioning of a large group of people. People who were still in the body but able to transition into a higher timeline for a short period of time, for instance, in connection with the Elohim, because we are in a different timeline. And so we cross timelines every time that we meet with you.
When we come on these calls and we experience time going fast or passing quickly, does that mean we've crossed the timeline just while we're on this call?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
However, when that happens, your clock will stay the same, but you will experience the speeding up of time.
Right. Many people experience that. They come on the call, and suddenly the call's over, and it didn't seem like an hour. It didn't even seem like 2 hours on a Sunday. So I assume that's a very good example of crossing a timeline when the time moves fast like that. And it's, you know, some of this stuff, when you read about it, it seems so far out and esoteric, and yet when you understand that it's really simple and experiential, and that you're experiencing it and aren't even knowing that you're experiencing it, or you haven't identified it as such. So I'm just pointing that out.
One of the functions of the tunnel of sight that many people go through after during their transition after their death is a means of crossing timelines.
Mm-hmm. It's a matter of moving into higher timelines and outside of the timeline you were in, because a lot of other people stay very close to the same timeline in the astral, and they're still like maneuvering around the earth plane. Isn't that correct? You're doing
that
people.
That is correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to ask one more question. This is a really interesting topic. What determines whether a person goes into the tunnel of light? I would assume that accelerates their karma, so to speak, or their letting go of this realm, which allows for more healing to occur. What determines whether a person goes into the tunnel of light or they hang out near the earth waiting for their next incarnation? I won't call it the next incarnation, but the next time to occupy a body.
It is their ability to accept change, their ability for an open heart, their ability to let go of their focus upon their worldly surroundings and to move into a higher focus, into the heavenly realm.
Mm-hmm. So if someone is all focused on the world, they're worried about their children, they're worried about their dog, they're worried about their rent, they're worried about all this stuff, then they would have a more difficult, would that situation cause a person to have a more difficult time going through this tunnel of light?
It is a matter of their choice. They would stay with what they were focused on. If they were able to let it go, which the tunnel of light helps them to let go of their worldly concerns and to ready them for the heavenly realm, if they are able to be accepting of changing their focus, they are more likely to enter the tunnel of light.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it really doesn't matter what their worldly circumstance was, whether that happens or not. It's totally an inner thing that gets them ready for it.
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Jim Leeds is our dear friend that's living in our house with us, and he submitted a question about a while ago. An overwhelming feeling of sleep came over me. I succumbed to it and slept for about half an hour. And then I had a dream that 2015 will be a banner year for the business we're doing in-house here and all those associated with it. I awakened refreshed. In the past, if I ever napped, upon awakening, I felt tired and unhappy, and it was different this time. Could you give any insight to this experience?
Thank you. You had an opening for a look into a realm of possibilities, and that look opened to a probability and a certainty then beyond the probability of a great year in 2015, both as to the work and us to a bettering of the financial situation within the household.
Thank you. Let's see here. David Fitzsimmons. In September, my friend Joe came and asked me about spiritual things. I gave him my gold pendant and an article about the dark night of the soul. In October, I attended his funeral. In my dream state, on November 24th at 10 a.m., Joe walked into the woods and committed suicide. His body lay in the woods during the holidays. He never spoke about ending his life. Could the Elohim, and you know what, I'm trying to understand this. Dave, I'm a little confused here. Oh, in October, I attended his funeral. So he did die. No, I attended his funeral in my dream state. Okay. In October, Dave had a dream where he saw Joe's funeral. And then in November, Joe walked into the woods and committed suicide. So that actually happened. That was not part of the dream. His body lay in the woods during the holidays. He never spoke about ending his life. Could the Elohim help me with my confusion? Did he hide his emotions all these years? Thank you.
Give us a moment. This was latent within him. And he suddenly, spontaneously carried out something that came over him. He had complex thoughts, and he was attempting to overcome them, and he did not speak over them. And he felt like it would be a resolution for him to move on. And he was not even thinking of moving on. He was thinking of ending painful circumstances that he was encountering. And we were sorry for this. We feel for you and your concern. He is moving on as he was hoping. He stayed above the forest for a while, and he enjoyed freedom from not being in his body, and the freedom of movement outside of the body, and he is moving on. Right now he is enjoying the freedom of being without the body.
Thank you. Is that, that's the end of your answer?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to ask the question about, in the beginning of the call, I was suggesting that people buy some food and water, and you were saying that there's certain unknown things about politics. What do you, this is from me, for the group, what do you think is the best way for the individuals who are listening to this call to prepare themselves for things that may come in the physical that may be uncomfortable?
It is good to have a stock of water and to have a stock of canned food, and to have a stock of cash so that if something happened, you would be able to purchase things, as the ATMs might not work. It is good to have a little cushion in any event, whether something happened or something didn't.
Thank you. Is cash better than gold or silver, you think?
You can do more with cash. But if everything, electricity went off, and you had cash, you could still buy something. If the electricity went off and you had gold, you might have a more difficult time figuring out how to exchange it for something.
Mm-hmm.
We suggest perhaps some of both, but be sure to keep a bunch of cash on hand.
Thank you. Next question is from Ruzia. Ruzia, thank you for your questions. And she's in Canada, and she asked the questions on last Wednesday about, you know, I thought her question was, I was thinking that, which some people say, they say there's enough people that are up, that the population was awakened, and we're all going to graduate, which is not what we ever get, and that it's a work under construction, and anything could happen. And this week, she has a question about cats. And I have run into research regarding people who claim that cats are time travelers, and also that cats are the gateways to aliens and portals. I came across this three times. Are cats gatekeepers? Does owning a cat give you any protection from negative things in your psychic space? And answer that, and I'll ask your next question.
Yes. Cats do give protection. Mm-hmm. And it is not through being a gatekeeper, but they bring in the calmness. This does not always apply to all cats either, as there are cats that have gotten out of sync and touch with that aspect of cats in general, like wild cats, that would not apply to wild cats. However, your tame cats can bring a sense of calmness to you and can help in that manner to help you stabilize your daily routine.
Thank you. And next question is my cat Kazi dead, or did someone take her? If she is dead, is she in a better place, and does she know that I miss her? Does she ever come to visit me? Thank you.
Thank you. We pick up that Kazi is hiding. We pick up that Kazi is scared. That she is under a porch. And that she received some abuse from an unknown outside source, unknown to you. And that is what we pick up concerning Kazi. We send peace and love to Kazi.
Thank you. Last question we're going to ask, then we're just going to do a little planetary prayer, tag it on to this call. And it's from Don Herman. And he asks that the word demon, which is derived from the ancient Greek daemon, D-A-E-M-O-N, defined as a thing of divine nature. In other words, a good thing. The daemon was often a source of inspiration for artists and writers. Then later, as usual, the establishment religions, not wanting people to be able to communicate with the higher realms without them, decreed that all demons were evil devils and forbidding any contact with them. And, of course, one comment I'd make is there most definitely are, whether you call them demons or negative, there's most definitely negative service-to-self entities in other dimensions that are always trying to tap in to humans. And but that's an interesting idea that they picked that word, and then they originally meant positive stuff, and it was converted into negative. Do our sources have any comment on this?
The meaning has changed and is depicting a different sort of an entity now than previously. So one needs to know the definition of the words one is using.
Thank you. So let's take a moment and tune into our group energy. We see ourselves, feel the energy in our body, and we feel our energy, and our energy follows our intent. Try it and see if you can feel it. And send your energy down through your feet and into the earth. And we bring our energy through our body, through our legs, through our solar plexus, through our chest, through our neck, up through the top of our head, going through our head, through the roof, through the clouds, through the timelines, connecting to the energy of our sources. Take a moment and just anchor that energy, that you are a point, your body is a point in the universe, but in fact, your energy is unlimited. And while we're connecting like this and connecting to each other, we just put into the light or put in attention into this field of peace on earth, of minimizing earthquakes everywhere for the highest good of all concern, of surrounding all of the governments and power structures that are going through their own variation of conflict between positive and negative. Of course, we ask for compassion for those people that are able to experience it, for compassion to be tantamount. We send the light to all the wanderers and starseeds on our planet, woken up or not woken up. Oftentimes, people come in from higher dimensions to help down here, and then they don't wake up. They get caught into all the stuff in this realm. And when they discover our work, it usually wakes them up. If you happen to be of that dispensation, and you keep coming to our calls, you'll probably have some epiphanies. And so we send the light to Ukraine for peace, to the Middle East for peace. We ask that no nuclear weapons be allowed to go off in this realm. We ask for interventions. We ask for interventions in the radiation in Fukushima. We ask that each person on this line can find that place in themselves to feel love, love for themselves, love for their fellow man, love for spirit, that they can heal all of those things in their body and their field that come from the past and let it go. Trauma, fear, abuse, we all have it. And so, at this moment, please forgive those people, those situations, and yourself for every way that you have been involved in being abused or compromised in your life. We all have it. You hold it in yourself. It holds against you. It keeps you contracted. It keeps you from moving into spirit. You're not forgiving to be nice, or that there's some spiritual law that says you're supposed to forgive, even though there is. But the real essence of it is, without forgiving, no matter, and yes, people can be horrible. People can be terrible. But don't involve yourself with them anymore. Learn how to stay away from those kinds of people. Get the discernment, because you chose those people at one point or another, and you didn't know what you were choosing. So take this moment and just forgive yourself and forgive those people. Doesn't mean to be nice to them. It doesn't mean to be their friend. Just let it go. Get it out of your system, so you can start fresh with a clean energy inside you. On that note, we're doing the Carla Ruckert Wall of One workshop Saturday, session 10. I hope you'll come and support that, support Carla, and support yourself. And I thank you all for being here.
And we have one
everybody.
More comment.
Yes.
We have a comment concerning Joe Ferringer. He is very appreciative that his humor is appreciated as expressed in the call. And that means a lot to him. Thank you.
Thank you.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Gwen. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Gwen. Thank you,
Terry.
Thank you, Gwen. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.